Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzzed Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we are going to be covering the end of our Austin-a-thon with Persuasion and there and all of the movie adaptations that we had immediate access to. There are three.
That's a lot. I mean, compared to like Mansfield Park or Northanger Abbey, there are a lot.
I can't blame people for not doing Northanger Abbey. But,
and we weren't able to get the most recent Sons and Sons Billy because that's on Brit Box. I can talk. And I haven't even started really drinking it. So let's get to the disclaimers, which include the
I think you're talking about was that the Sense and Sensibility on BritBox? It was Mansfield Park, I thought.
I don't want to have an argument about this. We have disclaimers, which include that there will be cursing. There will be spoilers if you don't know anything about the story of Persuasion. And we can understand why you wouldn't, although there are a lot of adaptations out there, so there's no good excuse. And we are having things to drink, and we're having the same thing to drink. That would be Gruet or Gruet. Sparkling wine. If you've not tried it, it's Gruet. It is made in New Mexico. It is fabulous.
It's delicious.
They make a great regular white and also rosé sparkling wine. It is really, really good. You need to give it a shot if you're into sparkling wine at all. It's wonderful.
Yes. Anyway, let's get into my synopsis of the plot. It's a lot less brief than the others because it's actually a bit more complicated than most, just because of I think so. More complicated than like something like Northanger Abbey, where I could give like a little mini one. But all right, two lovers, Anne Elliot and Captain Frederick Wentworth, were torn apart by the meddling of her family and neighbor, Lady Russell, who persuaded her to break off their engagement due to Wentworth's lack of station and connections. And also it was the middle of a war. 8 years later, her life sucks because her father has to rent out their estate while the family minus Anne go to stay in Bath due to financial problems, while Captain Wentworth's station has much improved. They reconnect when she goes to stay with her sister at the Musgroves, and he visits his family, who have rented out her father's estate only half a mile away. Her feelings for him resurface, and after a brief catching... What was I writing?
I have no idea.
I'm sorry. After briefly catching the tainted interest of her cousin William Elliot, who will inherit the estate and has financial problems, and Wentworth presumably courting Louisa Musgrove, they reconfess their love and get back together. What was that?
I really have no idea.
Just me writing it weirdly.
I thought
I was doing well at making these synopses, but...
Synopses. Yes. Yeah. No, it's pretty short-ish. So, yeah, so we have three versions that we watched. There's a 1995 version, there's a 2007 version, and there is
the
2022, which is with Dakota Johnson. That's probably something that many people have heard about. I will just, you know.
Again, this is all just our opinion about what we think about these, and we're mostly just doing this based off of, like, we're recommending the best ones to you guys. For a reason. We want you guys to have the best experience with the Jane Austen adaptation if you have not already like been exposed to them, and we're exposing ourselves to them for that express purpose and also just because this is fun. But so there are going to be some that are better than others for different reasons, and so we have pro con lists. Let's get started with the 1995 version. The cast for this one has a lot of familiar faces. Kieran Hines as Captain Frederick Wentworth, Fiona Shaw as
he's way better than I expected, by the way. Just putting that out.
Well, you did hate him in Jane Eyre. So.
I did hate him in Jane Eyre because I really did not see him as a romantic lead. He is much the Alan Rickman type romantic lead from Sense and Sensibility. Mm-hmm. Like he's a Colonel Brandon type. So,
yeah. And Wentworth is quite a bit like Colonel Brandon. Fiona Shaw as Mrs. Croft, who played Aunt Petunia in the Harry Potter movies. Victoria Hamilton as Henrietta Musgrove. It's a double dipper. Again, she's playing another kind of horrible sister, like she did in Mansfield Park in the 1999 version. Phoebe Nichols is Elizabeth Elliot, Rose's awful mother in Downton Abbey. She's fantastically awful.
She's so bitchy. It is so great because she's such a bitchy character in Downton Abbey. And, you know, you get the fact from this that she has been perfecting this for decades. I mean, indeed. This woman really knows what she's doing.
She knows. And Sophie Thompson as Mrs. Mary Musgrove. She was another double dipper, Miss Bates in Emma 1996. And yeah. She's great. So my pros for this one include beautiful sets and on-site locations. Again, it's usually a given for a Jane Austen adaptation, but it's especially true for these three adaptations. I think they use the on-site locations very well. Good music. Poor Anne has to deal with everyone complaining to her. I think they show that very well. The tension is palpable, but coming more from her not than him. The tension of, oh my God, I'm seeing my ex-lover after I've rejected him 8 years ago. Yeah. It's coming more from her than him, which I don't love. Maybe that's a con.
I mean, to me, it should be two-sided. Like, you should definitely see some stress on his part.
But there's certainly a lot of tension.
Again, especially since, you know, as we find out way, way later. So in retrospect, we should definitely see it on both sides because they're both still in love with each other.
Yeah.
So we find out.
So yeah, I think that's fine. It's more of a con than anything else. Henry Hayter, the Musgrove cousin, is cute. He is barely a character in any of these versions, but we get to see him and he's cute in this one. He just ends up with Henrietta Musgrove at the end. It's not very important. More drama shared about Charles wanting to marry Anne. I had forgotten that fact. And so that's just part of the story. I just found that shocking, especially in this version where Anne doesn't really have much of a character. But
she's
very, a bit milquetoasty.
Yeah, and it's not necessarily poor acting. I think that it just doesn't give her much in the directions.
She just doesn't have much dialogue to begin with.
Yeah. So I will say this, and I found it really interesting the way they did. I think they tried to do it in subtle ways. Like in the beginning, she looks like so. It's kind of Jane Eyre, like in the orphanage kind of thing. She starts out looking so bland, awful, and then over the course of the movie, they add adornments to her, and she starts like actually talking to people, and you start to be like, oh, someone could be in love with her. And so, whereas at the beginning, you're kind of like, no one would be in love with you.
You're really boring.
Yeah, you're very boring. So it really isn't. I think they meant to do that. I think this was deliberate, but I don't think it came off the way they intended.
Yeah. There's a moment when they're all like going on a walk, like the Musgrove sisters and her sister Mary and her husband and also Captain Wentworth. I know that's a lot of people, but they are all going for this walk, and it's a very awkward walk where it's revealed that Louisa reveals to Captain Wentworth at this time that Henry, who is Mary Musgrove, the now Mary Musgrove,
her sister
Mary, that her husband, Mary's husband, wanted to marry Anne, but got kind of stuck with Mary after Anne rejected him.
Right. And they believe that Anne rejected Mary's husband because the family friends or whatever intervened.
Yeah, Lady Russell intervened. And that's how Captain Wentworth kind of like figures out that she was being persuaded not to do it. It wasn't just her own volition. She was just weak-willed and let it happen.
Right, but again, it doesn't really say good things about her.
No, I'm not saying it does. I'm just saying that's what he learns. Mm-hmm. And so there's that one point where Captain Wentworth's sister and brother-in-law, who are staying at Anne's house that's being rented out, they are come by in a cart, and they're like, oh, we have room for one more. And I almost called him Kieran Hines. Captain Wentworth.
Mance Rayder.
Mom. Yes, I know. Mance Rayder in Game of Thrones, if you don't understand what that means. But he's like, oh, Anne looks tired. We need to help her out and put her on the cart. It's more of a kind thing and less of a get her away from me kind of thing, which is nice. William Elliott is handsome. He should be. He's like the Frank Churchill. I mean, you need to have him be a bit hot so that we think it's a problem. Dramatic stuff at the concert, very overdramatic. And like they have the discussion in front of other people, like in front of the entire music hall, they have this discussion of he's like, there's nothing here worth me staying for. And it's like, in front of everybody. Yeah. Him leaving a note for Anne, confessing his enduring love while getting his umbrella. It's a callback to the shop earlier where he comes in from the rain to a shop in Bath where she's now staying with her family. And he offers her his umbrella. And then William Elliott comes in with an umbrella and is like, oh, I've got the umbrella. It's a very dick measuring kind of thing.
Yeah, there is so much testosterone between these guys and in all of the versions, but it is hilarious.
Yes. And so they just kind of, it's a nice callback of, oh, I forgot my umbrella. Here's a secret note and of confessing my undying love. And the reunion after the letter is really sweet. So.
Yeah.
Those are my pros.
My pros, Rose's awful mom as the sister. She's such a bitch. She does it so well. I mean, I feel like this performance is hilariously awful. Anne is pathetic. And I put that as a pro because I was thinking she needs to be kind of a little bit pathetic. We need to empathize with her. But I think it goes way too far in this version. I wrote that early and then I realized, no, I don't love this. Miss Bates from the Pride and Prejudice series is the sister Mary.
No, she is not. Miss Bates is from Emma.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's from Emma. I'm sorry. She
and I also already mentioned that.
But I like her performance in this. I think there are a lot of ways to be annoying. I think that the way she is annoying in this is not as over the top as some of the other versions, and it's kind of good. Victoria Hamilton's always a win from my perspective. I feel sorry for Anne, but again, it goes too far. I like Kieran Hines, and I'm surprised by liking him. I buy him as a guy that girls are interested in, which again, it was a surprise to me. And he's a little more perky than Alan Rickman was in The Sense and Sensibility that we saw. So it's kind of like, hey, you know, he's a plausible romantic lead.
I disagree. I like Alan Rickman more, but
he's dancing and he's joking.
Sure.
There's a little
more perky. I would more compare it to his performance in Jane Eyre comparatively, but again, very different characters.
Yeah. So, his sister is the admiral's wife, the people that are renting out the house, the
I don't know what it's called,
family's house, whatever. And is played by Petunia from Harry Potter, right? I know that. And I think she does a really good job as the admiral's wife. I think it's a really kind of good role for a lot of people, because I don't think we've seen a really bad performance in this role.
I agree.
But you know, just this idea of, hey, you can be married to a naval officer and have a decent life.
I really love that conversation that she does.
Yeah, but I feel like this is very credibly done by her. I think she does a really good job with it. Mm-hmm. They put Anne in a corner. She's put baby in the corner. No.
Oh, at the pianoforte.
But William Elliott is cute. He should be. The sets are lovely. They use the same locations in Bath that we've seen in some of these other versions, which is great. She's a little bit too perky with William Elliott for my taste. I think that there is a relationship and there is a role with William Elliott in these versions. And it's kind of like a Goldilocks thing for me. It's either too much, too little, or just right. This, to me, was too little of him, but too much on her part toward him, based mm-hmm. on what we were seeing. So I felt like he was given a little more cred than he deserved based on what we had seen in this version. Like, why are you interested in this guy? He has done absolutely nothing. The near confession, like he nearly confesses, or she nearly confesses her love to him at the concert. It's good, but they're both like in a snit afterwards, and it's kind of whatever. The cute letter leaving at the end. This letter, this Captain Wentworth letter. For those of you who've only watched The Crown, you've heard this Captain Wentworth letter, this confession of love, and it was given by Prince Charles, to
Camilla.
Camilla. Thank you. I actually can't.
Definitely not to his first wife.
Definitely not to his first wife on his 50th birthday, I think.
Her 50th
birthday. Her 50th birthday party. And it's a great love confession, particularly coming from a guy, because guys generally are not this articulate in my personal experience. So being that articulate in writing is lovely. Since most guys can't do it in person at all, in my experience. But there's it's convenient that they the way they make this out, that she's going to be escorted home by him to so that there because there has to be a way for them to join up and discuss the fact that he sent her this letter. And it's kind of cute that they do it this way. There's some things I didn't like about the blocking and stuff with this, but
you'll get to that in your
cons. It was fine.
Yep. My cons, again, as I said before, the tension is palpable, but coming more from her than him. I like a good, like, balance of how...
Tug of war?
Yeah, it's a tug of war. And at the very beginning, when she should be feeling a lot of tension when she even hears that he's coming to dinner. And she doesn't end up going to that dinner, but then he comes over to shoot pheasants or whatever with...
The brother.
Her brother-in-law. Anne's brother-in-law. Mm-hmm. And... he comes in and it's supposed to be this like big moment of, oh my God, I have not seen you for 8 years. You rejected me last time I saw you. This really hurt. This was a real, we were in love with each other. It's supposed to be a big moment. And I don't feel like I got a lot of the big moment from her, but not from him. And obviously he's supposed to try to play it cool. And he does that for the rest of it, which it makes sense. But I think, and she's supposed to be the one kind of crumbling inside. But then it's, I don't know. It just seemed unequal at the beginning.
It should always look like he's moved on and she has not. That doesn't mean you have to talk about it like some of the versions do.
We'll talk about that later.
But it should look like that. Like they meet again and... he is able to move past her in a way. But there should definitely be a reaction from him. Like he reacts and then he's like, nope, I've got this under control. That's what should happen. In this one, there was no nope. It was just like, eh.
Yeah, whatever. Who the fuck is she?
Yeah, milk toast girl. Oh, yeah, that's
good. Elizabeth Elliot is such a bitch in a good way, but at the same time, like really annoying. Yeah. Like no one calls her out on it ever. It hurts.
Oh God, she's horrible.
Anne is a bit boring. Like I like it when Anne or any heroine ever has more personality. And she doesn't have to be perfect. Obviously she's not. She like rejected this amazing guy who she loved because somebody just was like, maybe you shouldn't. And then she was like, okay. And of course she's like weak-willed and all that stuff, but there has to be more to her that made him love her in the first place.
Right. So she's a little like the way that this story is required for this story to work. The role of the heroine has to be, it's much like Mansfield Park. Mm-hmm. You've got to be better than just the nice girl. You've got to be something.
You've got to be interesting, like interested in storytelling or taking care of people like a nurse.
Right.
Or something. Because
one of the catalysts, one of the things that is shown in this story is that he believes that she is competent at like taking care of people. And that comes out in this whole, there's a thing with
so
the girl
stupid.
Who is a jumping.
I'll talk about that in a minute.
But he has to believe in her competence, and there has to be a reason for him to believe in her competence. Again, we have a situation with a character that has made herself indispensable to many But he knew that long before. Like, he knew that book, you know, 8 years ago.
She was
ago.
Always indispensable to him.
Right. And but she was always indispensable to him, and in a way that he would know that she's capable. So, like, she had to have shown that before he went off to sea. And so that has to be in the portrayal somewhere. And up until this point, all we've seen from Anne is basically, like, people confide in her. Great.
You know? Yeah. I also would like to say that they have to have meant something to each other at that time. Like, they were truly in love. Mm-hmm. That's what we should know. They were truly in love. And I hate this version acting, like especially when it's brought up with Lady Russell, the person who talked her out of it, mm-hmm. that she's just like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that guy even existed. It's like, she talks about it such a blasé way that it just doesn't match the energy of, like, you should know that this was a major deal for her and you were the one who caused it. And acting, and she genuinely, the way she portrays it is she genuinely just doesn't remember this man. And so she just ruins other people's lives. So who cares? But it's just, I like it in the next version. We'll talk about it later. So Mary's annoying, but she's annoying in every version. I had forgotten. And she's a little bit less annoying than she could be, which I like. You can see why she's like her sister and she loves her, but she's not so annoying that she just doesn't want to interact with her, if you know what I mean. Kind of like with Pride and Prejudice, of like, especially like a Lydia in the series version, I would never want to be seen in public with her. But I can see in this version, the Mary is like, okay, well, she's my sister. I kind of have to take care of her and be kind and all that stuff. But she is a little bit annoying,
yeah.
as sisters are. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't know. I don't have one, but I am one. I know I can be annoying. Anyway.
Brothers can be annoying too.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I don't have one of those, but I've observed.
Anyway, Louisa is a dumbass for jumping off the stairs near the sea. So Louisa,
oh my god, and it is significantly, it's bad in all of them.
I think it's the worst in the third one, yeah. But we'll talk about that in a second. So Louisa Musgrove, she decides that it's a great idea
Well, she's in love with Captain Wentworth. Let's make it clear. Like, she's like,
she's really into him, but you don't really see the degree, but you can tell that she really likes him and flirts with him and all that stuff. But they're like in Lyme, which is by the sea, and they're like on a seawall or whatever, and they're walking along, and they go down this very steep, kind of treacherous in a way, because it doesn't have a fucking handle. Stone stairs. And
we are from Savannah. If you don't know what the stairs of death are, Google it.
River Street. Anyway, so Louisa is walks down the stairs a little bit, and then Captain Wentworth is in front of her, and he turns around and she's like, "Catch me!" And he does catch her, which is great. And then she's like, "Again!" And then she like runs up the stairs. She's like a
4-year-old,
like a toddler. I used to do that.
You
I
know did. That you that. Definitely did.
But so toddler.
You were enabled. Yes, absolutely.
And so she runs up to the very top of the stairs, and she's like, "Catch me!" And then she's not caught, and she hits her head and gets a concussion like a fucking dumbass. And so, I mean, it's dumb in every possible version, but again, it's the most dumb in the last one. We'll talk about it. But
in all of them, he's like, "No, don't do it. No, don't do it." And she fucking does it anyway. Like, you've been told, and she's an adult, right? This is not a toddler. This is she's adult a teenager. Woman. Well, but she's like 18. She's not like 12.
No.
Or 13. I mean, she's old enough to know this is a dumbass fucking idea. You know?
Yeah. And random circus at the end, they're in, you can talk about it more, but there's some weird, like, random circus, because like they're in the streets of Bath and they're like confessing their love for each other. And there's just this parade. We're not allowed
to see them confess their love. No, we gotta see fucking circus.
There's a parade of circus people passing by for no goddamn reason, like it's Mardi Gras. And I'm just like, what the fuck is this?
I was bitching loudly.
And we don't hear Wentworth's answer as to why he wants to marry Anne to her father. Like her father asks that he goes to a family function.
Her father's terrible. Let's face this.
We know this. He goes to a family function and announces to the entire room, "Oh, I'm engaged to Anne. She accepted me. We just wanted your permission to set a date." And I like that he's taking charge like that, but then her father's like, "Why Anne?" And because he's an awful person and an awful father. But then we never hear his answer.
Right. It's like, we don't know why he's marrying her either, because she's
hooked to. She is glue. Like, she's watching glue dry. Oh, sorry, paint dry. Yeah, but either way, no. She's glue. I don't know what that means at all. It's been a weird day. Anyway, those are my cons.
It definitely does. So my cons for this, and they're pretty close to the number of pros that I have. Lots of Navy stuff at the beginning, which again, you know, he is a naval officer
it doesn't show him at all.
At the beginning, yeah, it does.
We don't see Kieran Hines' face. I don't recall.
But we see a lot of naval stuff at the beginning. And that is, of course, the rationale that I guess Mrs. Reynolds gave for you shouldn't marry
Mrs. Reynolds.
Russell. Our lady gave for you shouldn't marry this guy because, he's in the Navy. And of course, you have to hear how pretentious the father is. Anne's father is like this complete ass. Like, I can't rent my house out to a naval officer. They're not.
And he's an admiral. He's really highly ranked. Yeah, so exactly. Go fuck off. I mean,
the way this narrative is they all look down on Navy people, and so they're it's like being in trade. Oh my god. But so they all like kind of look down on him. And especially during this period of time, I'm thinking to myself, all right, this is Napoleonic wartime. These guys are valiant. They are working their asses off to protect you. You're bitching about this? Really? But there is a lot of naval stuff at the beginning. It's very slow. This whole thing to me was paced in a very slow way and is very boring. She's not a great actress to me. I mean, she's not terrible, but she's not great.
You know what she's giving? She's giving Fanny 1983.
Yes, there's because there's no blinking. I do have blink, damn it, all caps. Because again, we have that direction here somewhere of thou shalt not blink. Anne is far too weak to me. Mary in this version is worse. She is terrible in all of them, and honestly, she's probably worse in the last one. But
oh, whatever. She is.
All of these things have some level of miscommunication in them, or should, unlike the last version of Persuasion, which is fucked up. The 2022 is terrible for this, but there's supposed to be some miscommunication. There's supposed to be a belief on the part of Anne that Captain Wentworth is marrying Louisa. And there is a giveaway fairly early in this that he's not. So, like, she has hope, like, all this time that she's got this Mr. Elliot or Cousin Elliot guy, which, you know, would be a reason why she's not as into Cousin William Elliot. But again, it also makes some of the other stuff, like, extra super weird in the last version. But there's supposed to be miscommunication. Like, she's supposed to believe he's going to marry Louisa. He's supposed to believe she's going to marry William Elliot. And they're both kind of like, oh my God, you know, I've been in love with you all this time and you're going to marry somebody else. Shit. And they're not sure how to take some of the responses that they get from each other because of this perception that that's going on. He knows, or she knows, way too early that he's not going to be marrying Louisa, which is weird. No blinking, hate that. Anne looks progressively better, which I think is just a weird directorial choice. I don't like that because she needs to be someone that's lovable from the beginning. And the letter is really the only good stuff in this. You know, as far as confessions of love on either side.
Or pining looks or anything.
Right, on either side, there's just not enough to make me really buy into this as a romance. It's okay, but it's not good. And so that really is
that's
the biggest criticism, yeah.
All right, so for the 2007 version, we have a lot of people in the cast we know. So get ready. Sally Hawkins is Anne Elliot. She is the mother in Paddington and in Wonka as well.
She's great.
Tobias Menzies is William Elliot. Oh my God, of course, we know Tobias Menzies from The Crown as Philip in seasons 3 and 4.
And Outlander.
And Outlander, of course. Anthony Head as Sir Walter Elliot. He's Rupert in Ted Lasso. Fuck off, Rupert.
Fuck off, Rupert.
We have this thing, this guy, Bridey Boy, or something like that, on Instagram, Facebook, whatever. He does these parodies of
Regency era things.
Yeah, and one of them's like, it's kind of like, oh, this guy is so perfect for you. But they're going for like this dark, mysterious guy, and Rupert's the guy who's like really nice
and he's like, I wouldn't go with that guy.
He goes, fuck off, Rupert. It's funny.
It's very funny. You need to watch those if you haven't.
Julia Davis as Elizabeth Elliot. She's the caterer from Love Actually. If you know, you know. Joseph Ma as Captain Harville. He's Benjamin Stark, but he's blonde in this.
Oh, but we love him. Yeah, regardless. We
do. He's fantastic in this.
He is.
Nicholas Farrell as Mr. Musgrove. He's Edmund in the 1983 Mansfield Park.
Yes.
Holy shit. Another double dipper.
Holy shit. Yep.
Peter White as Admiral Croft. He's Uncle Gardner in Pride and Prejudice 2005.
Yep.
Double dipper. And a pub owner in Hot Fuzz.
Just in case.
I can just hear him say, the greater good. I need to rewatch that movie. Jennifer Higham as Louisa Musgrove. She's Olive in Ella Enchanted, the other evil stepsister, the one who's always in purple.
Yep.
The one who's not always this evil stepsister.
But she is.
The other one is also in Hot Fuzz. Yes. There's a whole extended universe.
It is the conservation of British actors. Sorry, proceed.
And Marion Bailey as Mrs. Croft. She is the Queen Mother in The Crown seasons 3 and 4.
Yep.
So those are all the people we know from this. It's crazy. Great sets and on-site locations as always. Great music. Good costumes. More conversational dialogue that feels natural. Like, especially, yeah. It's especially shown in the Miss Lady Russell conversation at the very beginning, where, if you want to speak on that later, I can wait.
Go ahead. I did not make detailed notes on this, mostly because I was enjoying it. So,
yeah,
go ahead.
Anyway, she's like, oh, yeah, so what exactly is going on with you? And she's like, it's Captain Wentworth. You told me not to. I was told not to, like, love this guy. And everything's gone to shit since then. And she's like, oh, well, I mean, if he hasn't written to you, he's clearly not interested anymore.
Like, shit, really?
But it's conversational. It's conversational. And also, yes. You rejected him, so fair.
Yeah, the exposition in this is really well done. It's natural. That's definitely pro for me.
I like seeing that she kept his letters and other keepsakes. It's very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike in the other version, which is a little bit weird. I like that she keeps a journal, so we are kept up to date on about how she's feeling, but not in a fourth wall breaky kind of way. She's more just like writing things down like, holy shit, what the fuck is going on here? And it's like all afterwards, so it's not in the moment. It's just a little bit like of a blurb of like, here's a synopsis of my day. It was total shit. And
yeah, so it's very short. It's not brief. It's not
to the point.
It is not the entire point of the movie.
Yes. Such a great and awkward reunion. I absolutely love it. Coming in, her turning around, them looking at each other for the first time in 8 years, and his reaction's perfect. It's
I
so
love this
good.
Guy. This actor's name is actually Rupert. Do not fuck off, Rupert.
Do not fuck off, Rupert. We love you.
We love you.
We love you.
But he does this so perfectly. And the fact that he has not been part of the Jane Austen universe.
How is this possible?
Like, I just can't even
He's
imagine.
Wonderful.
He's great. Now, of course, we'll never get him back, but he's great.
I also love in the first dinner scene that they are both present. He calls her out indirectly about her feebleness of character and weak will, and how he doesn't want that in a future wife.
Yeah,
he's like, if I'm going to have a future wife, these are the things I don't want, which is basically what Anne did to me. And it's like, it's fair. And she's just sitting there, like, breaking down, almost like, oh my God, he's calling me out, but no one knows. And There's also a moment with Louisa Musgrove where she's like revealing the whole thing with Anne and her brother almost getting together, but then her being talked out of it, and her Louisa saying to Wentworth, "Oh yeah, when I ha set my mind to something, I stick through it." And then you pan out, the camera pans over, and Anne's just standing there like, "Ah!" It's so good.
I would now.
Everyone has so much more personality because they aren't stuck in one gear. Here's what I
Yeah.
mean. When in the first version that we watched of this, Anne was just depressed that the entire time. Like she had no bright spots in her life, which is supposed to be kind of true, but I mean, obviously, like her life wasn't not worth living. So I mean, obviously she's doing something that's making her happy. Like in this version, it's she loves spending time with Louisa and Henrietta. She likes spending time with her nephews and whatever. Like she likes spending time with her family, not that family, her not her immediate family, but
Your
her
sister's family,
in-laws. And she really enjoys that. And so she's able to have some bright spots in her life, not just contained to Captain Wentworth. She also has, and that's true for everybody. Everyone isn't stuck in one gear of I'm annoying all the time. Well, I mean, her immediate family is, but other than that, everyone else has a bit of a mode of like it's more dynamic. And Wentworth has happy moments. He has really depressed moments. He has jealous moments. Like he shows a
Broad
roller
range.
coaster of emotions that we didn't get really get to see in either of the other versions.
I mean, it
Let's
is
see.
great.
They are much and they are much more expressive with the jealousy. I think it's a lot of facial expressions, which again, you don't have to just say, "Oh, I'm jealous." Like, use your fucking face. Like, we don't need to hear about it. We know it,
It
but
all and
it's called subtext.
it's also cinema, right? Like, it's not like you're on the stage and you have to do like all this emoting and or exposition for people to know what you are expressing. This can get up close and personal. It does, and you'd see those looks, those
It's in the
reactions.
eyes,
It's
really.
yeah, there's a whole lot of it's like crap,
Yeah. Captain Harville double checking Anne's name and looking knowingly at Captain Wentworth gets me. Like
I love
like
Benjamin.
he's
He's
introduced
so
to her at the beach and she's like, "Oh, and well, first of all, he's introducing them." And he's like, "This is Miss Henrietta Musgrove, the lovely Miss Louisa
Louise.
Musgrove and Anne Elliot." And then and Miss Elliot. And then she
Miss
but
Anne Elliot.
Miss Anne Elliot, and then he looks over at Captain Wentworth and he's just like, "Okay, I
Oh,
know
all
exactly who this
right.
is." It shows that he at least talked to his friends about her, and that
Right.
means he actually cared.
Right. Right. Whether he still cares or not is still up
That's
in
up
the
to me.
air. But the
Whether he
fact
moved
that
on or not
he
is,
did and like he yeah, it
it means a
matters.
lot.
It matters.
I like seeing Captain Wentworth deny his feelings for Louisa to Captain Harville and realize how he's gone too far, but
Yeah.
not too early. Like it's after the incident with her jumping off like a dumbass
Oh
and
my
getting
God.
a concussion, and
Yeah.
it's after she's already got Anne's already gone to Bath, and he's just walking around and he's like, "Oh yeah, I'll stay here for a little bit longer," and he's being told by Harville, just like, why are you staying if you're not interested in her? Like, if you aren't going to marry, like, we're assuming you're going to marry this girl. And he's like, "Wait, whoa, I've given off that impression.
It's
Shit,
like,
I've gone too far. I
yeah.
think I was trying to make her jealous for the longest time and I've gone too far."
Well, and I love though that I love that. I don't love this idea that he has of like, oh, I'm entangled with her now. I've got to like kind of see this through. I mean, there's a nobility in it, but I don't like that he actually feels like he can't just break. I guess he feels like he
It's
can't break
like
it
an
off until
Anthony
she's
Bridgerton
healthy.
situation of he's a man of honor and he's gone too deep.
Well,
And
yeah, but again, you don't have to like propose and shit. I can see him wanting to wait until she's healthy to say, hey, this isn't going anywhere. But I just don't know. I think I would tell her parents like, hey, I want to make sure she's okay, but I'm not like this is not gonna be a long-term thing.
well, he doesn't. And
And he does
so
it. And this is part of the reason that is totally plausible that Anne believes he's going to marry Louisa.
because he believes he probably has to. Anyway,
Because I was present when she fell. Fuck, really? Like, is being alone in a garden the worst?
No, he's been flirtatious.
Yeah.
Anyway, I love Captain Wentworth confessing his feelings for Anne to Captain Harville. After Harville has received the letter about the fact that their other naval friend, who is not a widower because they never got married, but he suffered a loss of his like fiance essentially, and he moves on with Louisa, and he's engaged to Louisa, and that causes the whole miscommunication about, oh, Louisa's marrying a naval officer, and they won't specify who, and so that freaks everyone out. Especially Anne
assumes it's
Wentworth. Because of course they would.
Right.
And then when Wentworth is told about, oh yeah, no, Louisa and the other guy are engaged, he's like, I'm free and I love Anne and I want to go see her.
And Benjamin Stark's like, yeah.
Yeah, you do that.
I got to do that. And he's like, I'm going to Bath tomorrow. You'll come.
There's also a moment, there are several moments throughout that this kind of just adds to the sweetness of the ending, which I'll talk about in a second, but we see Anne's love for her childhood home and wanting to return to it, because mm-hmm. she's making all these plans about, okay, we're going to economize for this amount of time. We might be able to come back in a few years after renting it out for a while. And we might be able to like finally get back into a good financial situation where we can return home, because I want to, and I want to help run the house, and I want to do this. She really cares about it. Anne tells, I love that Anne tells Wentworth that the Crofts have been misinformed about the fact that she's engaged to Mr. Elliot. She's like, oh no, they're grossly misinformed. And he's like, really? And she's like, uh-huh. Uh-huh. And then she also runs after him and goes after what she wants. She runs everywhere in Bath.
She has the entire, like, everything in Bath. We get to see all of that, which is lovely.
And she is super out of breath when she gets back to him after reading the letter. And she goes, and then I love that
Benjamin gives her the letter, by the way. Yes. He's such a good best friend.
He's the best best friend. And we all deserve a Benjamin, even though that's not his name, Harville.
First Ranger.
Anyway, I love that at the very end, it's kind of similar to like the Emma series ending, where I just really love the addition of this little thing of, I love that Wentworth gives her family home as a wedding present. It's very sweet.
He blindfolds her. It's adorable.
And then they kiss, and then they dance around the yard. It's adorable.
It is adorable. All right, so my pros that I wrote down, and my pro list is way longer than my con list for this.
Same.
Rupert from Ted Lasso, fuck off. He is such a pretentious asshole. He does that so well. There's conversational exposition we've already talked about. We did not mention the actress playing Sister Mary. You may have seen her in The White Queen and in Ripper Street. She is kind of Matthew McFadyen's love interest-y or wife or something in Ripper Street, which is kind of cool. Frederick is properly awkward when they meet. There's a lot of good awkwardness between the two of them. Like, they don't know what to say. They say too little and then misinterpret it. And it's so, they're so stricken. Both of them get so stricken with part of what they hear. Sally Hawkins is amazing. She is perfect for this role. She's great. It's a great cast. Tobias Menzies is such a win.
I forgot to even mention Tobias Menzies. He is great.
He is great. And he is
pretentious.
There is just the right amount of William Elliot in this version.
Not too much,
not too little. He is just, we find out that he's awful, which is part of like the whole reason why it's totally fine for her to diss him. But she, I love that she tells Frederick that she's not engaged. But then they get separated by like all these people show up at the house and she's not able to talk to him. She kind of pushes her way through. It's symbolic of what has happened before. People got in between them before, but she has decided this time that she's going to make it happen. So she pushes her way through. She's going to run and she's going to find him, and she does. And there's kissing, which there wasn't really much kissing in the other one, and it disappointed me. I love that there's kissing. And I love the wedding present and the whole closing thing. It's just adorable. I love it.
Yeah, my cons are in all caps, too much shaky cam. It's too much. I think all of this was shaky cam, if I'm being honest. There are very few steady cam or movements, and it was like watching the Blair Witch Project. But in a good way. You're watching something better than the Blair Witch Project.
Way better. There's a narrative.
Not the best camera work at times. There were several shots. I just was like, why is this even a thing? Like, it was like a going away on, I think it was supposed to be Anne's POV on the cart going away from her childhood home. And it was just a weird angle of the castle as they're leaving. I'm like, why is that there? Yeah. But not the best camera work. I just imagine if you had every component that you had already here, but better camera work, it would have been so good.
Totally.
It would have been a Pride and Prejudice for me.
Yeah, like, I think camera work it would be the only thing I put as a con. I put it in two different spots, but yeah. So yeah, all right,
let's get to 2022.
So I want to point out that what started this whole Austinathon, when you were home on spring break, you were doing something like maybe at work or whatever. I ended up watching this 2022 Persuasion.
No, I think I did that before mine.
It was a week before, maybe, or something. Probably. Like that. Yeah, it might have been. And I remember texting you, it's like, I watched it.
Yeah, you did text me about it.
It's pretty, but.
Because my roommate had also watched it.
Yeah, it's still pretty, but. And there are things about it that are surprisingly not bad, but there's a whole lot of really fucking bad. Mm. Sorry, spoiler. So let's go.
All right. The cast, Dakota Johnson as Anne Elliot. She kind of surprised me in this. I thought she was better than I expected, especially her accent was better than I expected.
Having seen 50 Shades.
Yeah, that's what I knew her best from. She's not
that's
good.
Everybody knows her best.
That's not good. Or Madame Webb or whatever. Either way. Henry Golding as William Elliot. He's Nick in Crazy Rich Asians. He's great in that movie. He's awesome in this one. I mean, he's
but
so fucking hot.
Stunningly.
We're not going to talk about that yet. Richard E. Grant as Sir Walter Elliot. He's the art critic guy from Downton Abbey, who's in everything.
And he is a pretentious asshole in this too.
Yeah. And Edward Blumel as Captain Harville. He's in My Lady Jane. He's been all in my Facebook feed. I don't know why.
Yeah,
but
we haven't seen My Lady Jane yet.
We should probably before I go back to college. It's like six episodes, I think. Mm-hmm. So either way. So my pros, good sets and on-site locations. Pretty good costumes for the most part, except for some hats. Pretty well shot overall. It's very well shot. I like getting to see them before the breakup, but then I realized by the end of it, that was just a clip of them at the end. So we didn't really get to see them before the breakup, and I retract that.
Yeah, I thought we did too. I thought that's what it was.
And it would have been really cute if that was true, but it's not. I retract that statement. Everyone is hot. That's nice to see.
It is a very attractive cast.
Yeah, everyone's beautiful. She's very sweet with her nephews, which I like. I like that. That's really cute. It gives her a little bit of personality outside of her randomness, which just seems to be a Dakota Johnson staple. I like the ticking clock of him applying for the admiralty.
Yeah, so this puts a deadline on are they getting back together or not.
Because he's leaving Saturday. And it's like, oh, shit, I need to make up my mind right now. But she had already made up her mind, so it doesn't matter. But I mean, I like the ticking clock. It's not, I don't believe, a part of the story at large, but because I feel like they would have used that in every other version, but it's fine. As far as additions are concerned, I don't think it's a bad thing. That's it. So what are your pros?
So I have, just for comparison, I have a full page of cons and less than half a page of pros. So again, I thought relationship stuff, the thing before the breakup was the thing before the breakup. It's not.
We retract that statement.
We retract it. It would have been good, but no, they fucked it up.
you just put her in a different dress, goddammit.
Dakota Johnson was better at the accent than I expected. Mm-hmm. There are elements about this that are relatable, and at first you're thinking, oh, that's great, and then you realize, oh no, this is going to end up being a giant con for me. And I'm going to go over the details of that in my cons list.
Okay.
The sets are lovely.
Yes.
They're very pretty people. there is a rabbit that is a killer rabbit. And I kept saying, oh, the rabbit is going to kill her. Oh, please, please kill her.
It's an adorable rabbit.
But this is her pet rabbit that goes with her fucking everywhere. It's like, a rabbit is not a good pet to take with you, like, on all of these trips that she goes
on. I would much prefer to
cat. There's no litter box. There's, I don't know what the fuck you do with a rabbit.
I was about to say litter box.
But apparently, like, it didn't kill her, which is disappointing. So cousin William is cute. He is a cute guy, and it is totally plausible that she'd be into
him. It makes me want to rewatch Crazy Rich Asians.
She is far too into him in this version.
Agreed.
Far too into him.
We'll talk about it in the cons.
They're beautiful people, whatever. There are good costumes for the most part. I agree about the hats. We will talk about that. It's well shot, and that is one of the things that was missing from the 2009. Or 2007. It is disappointing because
everything else is so good.
Yeah, it's like, that's really sad.
I can get over it though with that one.
That was all I wrote down.
Okay. All right. So here we go. Get ready. I wrote down a lot of examples.
Did you use this phrase?
I did. In a second.
It's the very first thing I said.
Anyway. So in all caps, I have too modern. The phrasing alone is way too modern. There are many other things that are way too modern, but the phrasing is chief among them. Some examples. Thriving should never be. Like, unless
care.
Mom, let me go through it. Thriving. Playlist he made for me. Absolutely not. It's all Beethoven. Let it be Beethoven. You'll be at least a 6, Anne.
Yeah, they're
they rate people
on a 1 to 10 scale.
No, sad
but you'll
face.
Be at 13.
The sad face and the note to have her come to take care of her sister,
like emojis, because we're too dumb to know what sadness is in words.
He'll be hooked.
No,
I hate my life.
No,
I am an empath. I'll talk you up.
No,
love me, you idiot.
No.
Alone in my room with a bottle of red.
No.
How do I prioritize self-care? Shockingly self-aware. That was your warm-up. Crush. Out of his league. In your dreams. Held it together. Those are just a few examples of the modern phrasing that is shoehorned into this Jane Austen book that didn't need it. All right. A lot of obvious exposition, not through natural dialogue, which I didn't like. The best comparison I have is Mansfield Park, because in the 1999 movie they did use some fourth wall breaking, but it was all through letters, and so it made sense. In the 2007 version of Persuasion, she uses her journal to convey her emotions so that she's not just silent the entire time like in the 1995 version. But in this version, they're just spelling everything out for you, and it really pisses me off. I'm like, I got it, thank you. And not just because I've seen a lot of different versions of this now, but because I am smart and I can get subtext, thank you.
We're gonna talk at the end of this about what we are looking for in adaptations, especially Jane Austen adaptations, because I think that, you know, we now have a sense of what that is.
Proceed. To a certain degree, I suppose. A lot of... I just said that. Sorry. She's an alcoholic.
Yeah.
I don't know why. And the
Anna
quote...
Lee is not an alcoholic. This is bullshit.
And the quote that you said is, this is my depression blog.
Yes.
Yes, it is her depression blog. Mary is super annoying. Like, more annoying than in any other version. She is so much worse. And I don't like that. Her yelling at him while he's at dinner, just have them make eye contact and make it an awkward situation. You didn't have to have her yell, Frederick! You didn't need to do that. You know what I'm talking
about?
Yes.
Well, and then she's like, oh, you're gonna get to it in a second.
Louisa is trying to play matchmaker. I don't understand why. So much more secondhand embarrassment in general is bad. Like, she's like, you're old! No. Bad. No one else should think Anne and Wentworth have a connection, or else the whole matching him up with Louisa or Henrietta makes it so much more awkward. Absolutely not.
There's so much fucking weirdness with this. It makes the whole Anne and Wentworth thing less plausible, and there are a lot of reasons for that. Keep going.
In all caps, lack of decorum. This is bare minimum, y'all. Like, no assigned seats at dinner. That's not the way. I mean, like, there, well, except for in like the two, it made sense in the 2005 Pride and Prejudice when she, when it is a full lack of a decorum thing that makes her, Elizabeth and Darcy sit next to each other. Like, Judi Dench is like, hey, no, you can't sit next to your wife, move. And that makes sense. Like, that's a way to get your leads next to each other. This is them like not wanting to sit next to each other, and so they just play musical chairs until they get across the tables from each other. Anyway, no offering of hands to get in carriages. Like, when she's getting on the cart after she's twisted her ankle because she was trying to shit in the woods and overheard stuff or
That's so
something,
fucking awkward.
and she, and like, he doesn't even help her up into the carriage. Like, what is that? And
No,
calling
that's
each other by
gross.
their Christian names. The whole point is that it's awkward and they can't call each other by their Christian names because she constantly, every time, is like, Captain, that's her
Oh,
thing.
Captain, my Captain.
Essentially. Not quite, but similar vibe. But she is supposed, and he's like Miss Elliot, and it's supposed to be a thing that they're like, they're being cold to each other. They're not being warm. They're not being themselves. That's the whole point of that distinction. And so her just constantly calling him Frederick and him calling her Anne all the time, it takes that
Everybody
away.
calling her Anne. Everybody calls
It's
her
okay
Anne.
for some of them to call her Anne, but not everybody.
William Elliot. Oh, okay, I'm
At
sorry.
dinner, at the first dinner where both of them are at the same table, he's talking about what he's looking for in a woman, and then she, out of nowhere, says, "Charles wanted to marry me first." What?
No,
I
she
yelled,
does not
"What?"
promote herself at all, ever, period. That's not an Anne Elliott thing.
I
Ever. Ever.
yelled, "What?" at that moment. I had to back it up to prove that that happened to myself because that is wild. Like, the whole point of that little tidbit, that little thing that Charles, and he proposed to her and she said no, that is supposed to be reserved for Louisa telling Captain Wentworth and him being shocked that she refused him, and then her him finding out, oh, it's because she's easily manipulated by other people. That's the whole point of that tidbit of
There's one other
information.
element to it, which is that maybe she's holding out hope for him. Like she has not ex just accepted random dude. She's
That's
still,
also part of it.
yeah.
But regardless, like, she doesn't reveal that information.
Right. The fuck?
And also not in front of the guy who is who she rejected and his wife. Everyone's sitting there. It's
Oh
ridiculous.
my God.
Yeah, she calls him Frederick and is a bit too open about her feelings too soon. Louisa is, quote, falling in love with Wentworth. Honestly, I like it better as like a brief flirtation. You don't know how either of them are feeling. I prefer
Yes.
that. And
Or
so it makes her
if
falling
it's
in love.
just one-sided, and it is just one-sided, but I don't see her. I mean, the phrasing of it is too modern, obviously, but I may form an attachment with it. I could see that phrasing maybe, but again, we don't have any of that
But none of that would
literacy
have had to be
language.
spelled out for us if she hadn't tried to play matchmaker for no reason. And
It's
that's
fucking
never supposed to be part of it. Anyway,
weird.
she's supposed to be playing matchmaker for herself. Like that's enough on her plate. Either way, but yeah, she also just I don't know, it just makes things way more awkward of her telling Anne that and that being a whole thing. Again, I prefer it just being a light flirtation, and it also makes it more reasonable when Louisa gets engaged to the other guy, and so Captain Bennett, and so I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense. She wasn't really into Wentworth. She actually really likes this guy better.
We're gonna get to my con. Keep going.
Wentworth speaks ill of Anne to Louisa, which doesn't
Yes.
bode well for their relationship, and
No.
she overhears it. It's not great.
No. While she's trying to shit in the woods. Why are we having shit in the woods? Stop it.
Anyway,
Oh,
I.
this is the one thing we want to include from the Regency era. Seriously?
Shitting in the woods?
Yeah.
Oh. Anyway, I want
Don't
him.
want any language stuff now.
I want him to be with Louisa more. Louisa's a great character in this.
Oh, I'm rooting for them early on. That was part of my point. It's like I want them to get together because she's better than Anne. She's better, like he's better. Well, he's not even that great. He's
He's not
okay.
great. Harville isn't using his cane correctly, so he isn't injured. The whole point of his thing is he's injured and uses a cane for a reason, and this guy, I think, is just using it for style. Anyway, conversations about feelings and wanting each other in their lives happens too early, like in line. Like that's not supposed to happen. And I, in all caps, you can't have them friend zone each other. That takes
On
away all of
purpose.
it. That takes away all of the pining. It takes away all of, like, it doesn't, okay, it doesn't take away all of the pining. It makes the eventual, like, it's just weird.
I
Like,
have a
it's
bunch of
making,
all cap shit
it's
about
bad.
this. I'm gonna talk about it.
You'll rant about it, whatever. He says, I would ask myself, what would Anne do? And I said, freak out, drink wine, and cry.
What would
Which,
Anne do?
random swimming.
No.
Stop spelling things out. Like in parentheses, leave that to Providence. That means I haven't made up my mind. That's not what that means, but okay.
That's fine.
Louisa hurting herself is even more stupid because she's like, he even warns her, hey, I'm not gonna catch you if you do this. And she's like, okay. And it's like, what the fuck are you doing?
Like she goes all the way to the top of the fucking wall, too. It's not like an extra step. It's like
And then they say,
ridiculous.
while she's in the sick bed, they say, oh, she has a concussion. I'm like, you didn't know what a fucking concussion was. You thought that was brain fever, bitch. Like, what are you talking about?
Yep.
Anyway, Wentworth tells Anne that he was kind of leading Louisa on. And I'm like, okay, why are you telling her
Yeah,
this?
there
And
is way,
now
way
she
too much.
knows.
Yeah.
And now she shouldn't be concerned about you marrying Louisa at any point.
Correct.
She likes Mr. Elliot way too much. And honestly, I like Mr. Elliot like a lot because he's hot. But I mean, and he's
God,
also
I
pretty charming. So I mean, it kind of works. But
Like
in
he even
that,
says all the crazy rich Asians. I'm sorry, I'll talk about
no,
that. Go ahead.
stop it.
Go ahead.
Sorry, random for the sake of being random. Like she, her telling the octopus dream thing is stupid. That was so stupid.
There is no options.
Why is Mr. Elliot inviting Wentworth to the concert? He shouldn't want him there.
Right.
Mr. Elliot spreads the rumor of him marrying Anne directly to Captain Wentworth, which makes that way more credible and way more weird.
Yep.
We see Mr. Elliot and Mrs. Clay making out in public, which would never, ever, ever go down well in Regency era England.
You can't be in the garden alone.
Yeah, you can't be in, yeah, you can't be in the
On a
garden alone
street. And
making
they're
out.
making out like she's a fucking prostitute.
They eventually get married, which I mean makes sense, but either way. And modern music at the end for no reason. Those are my cons.
Yeah,
You go
I have
ahead.
a bunch of comments.
I can tell, go.
My depression blog. The language and there's so much emoting. It is just so very, very modern. And I do feel like it is speaking to its audience like we're morons. There was some of that in the Anya Taylor-Joy Emma. It is
Less
so
so. They at least tried to maintain dialogue.
no. Okay. There, some of the language in the Anya Taylor-Joy was okay. There's a lot of dumbing down in both of them. I really think that they think that people who are like, hey, I want to watch the Jane Austen adaptation are idiots that have never read anything. Those aren't the people that are your audience. Okay. I'm just going to tell you, people that are trying to make these movies, treating us like idiots does not make us interested in what you're cranking out. It is very, very modern on multiple levels. I'm gonna talk about some of it, but yeah, she's basically a depressed alcoholic. There is no way Anne Elliot in the Regency era was, especially to be the woman that Wentworth was still interested in, would have been an alcoholic. No. Their meeting conversation, and I hated this so much. So they're trying to make Dakota Johnson cute with her nephews. I'm gonna call her Dakota Johnson, and cute with her ne nephews. You know, she's acting out what Captain Wentworth would do. She puts on like a
Oh, yeah.
jam mustache and a basket on her head. She like dumps all the bread on the floor. Like you would ever do that in that time period when you have to bake your own fucking bread? No. No, this would never fucking happen. But she puts the basket on her head and she's making fun of him and like, oh, that's what's gonna make it awkward for her. It's like, it's already fucking awkward to meet this guy. And he shows up and my memory of him was much better than what his
He's not
actual
that great.
he's really not.
His voice is pretty monotone to me.
Yeah, he just did not have much going for him.
It was also a shame that we watched him right after The Great One. So yeah, sorry.
Yeah, the guy that when you're going to get back. We love you, Rupert.
We love you, Rupert.
But in any case, so she has this thing, like, she's making fun of him, and it is such a modern thing that you would do with children, that again, the wasting of food would not have happened in that time period. You know, that
food was scarce.
Food and you had to make your own, so you didn't just randomly like strew it around like it was.
Well, they had to cook.
You that still had the resources had that you had to pay for. I
see your point. Continue.
So that and the goofiness, I think, would have been over the top in the Regency era as well. But she's telling him, oh, you can't be a naval officer. Like she still believes that is the opposite of what Anne Elliot believes. That's what she's telling her nephews, is you can't grow up and be a naval officer. She doesn't believe that anymore. She would never have this conversation with her nephews. So that is idiotic. She makes, and it's just, it's so goofy, slapsticky, and I think that's part of my problem with the Anya Taylor-Joy is the slapstick element. We're going to talk about that when we talk about adaptations. Yes, we have a
hand. I would just like to say, going back to the randomness for the sake of being random, there are ways to do humor in these kinds of movies really well, like in a Pride and Prejudice, 2005,
oh, yes.
A 2009 Emma, or just
clever,
or like
subversive,
or a Sense and Sensibility in 1995, and like you have different ways of making things clever, or even a fucking more recent Bridgerton. You can make things funny and still make them clever and a thinker, and like not it be like it being overtly funny, but it's still being appropriate for the time or appropriate in the context.
Yeah.
Like there, you don't have to just have her say something super shitty and random at like a dinner table to make you like laugh. It doesn't need to be that way. Like she doesn't have to just be like weird.
Well, she doesn't have to act like she's a drunk or something. I mean, it's just
she's the alcoholic.
You want to marry me? It's like, yeah, it's like, what the fuck?
That's something you would do to a side character you don't care about.
Yeah,
like an Elizabeth Elliot. Like you would make her a drunk who is snotty and awful, but she's a drunk, so whatever.
Yeah. So I'm Louisa being the matchmaker. I hate that because again, in this version, Louise is a better person. She is kinder.
She's also beautiful.
She's gorgeous. Well, and all the people are gorgeous, and that's not really as true in the other versions, because I think there should be like some disparity. Like Anne should be pretty, and the in-law sisters should be a little goofy, a little stepsistery.
Mm-hmm.
But no, and so there's a lot of inappropriateness there. Louisa goes out of her way in this to like get permission to, you know, be with Captain Wentworth, and you know, she's got a very much a modern sensibility and a sensitivity to, hey, I know you're interested in this guy, I can tell. It's like none of that happens in the book. There is a miscommunication thing going on. Like Louisa is full of herself and doesn't give a shit about Anne because Anne's not competition to her. That is what should be happening. That is not what is happening in this version. And of course,
Louisa is young, beautiful, and has a fortune to use to her advantage.
Exactly.
Anne is stupid.
Yeah. so there's shaky cam on like when she's
very briefly.
It's a bit annoying. They have all of these conversations between her and Captain Wentworth where it's like, hey, can we talk? Hey, can we talk? None of that happens. That's the whole point, is you're not talking and you're assuming things about each other. It's the whole Pride and Prejudice concept, right? Like you make assumptions about people because this society is so restrictive that you can't have those conversations.
Or even just in normal life nowadays, it's like you read too much into like a text.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, what could they possibly mean by why?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like,
yeah,
what is the question mark there? It's like you read too much into things, regardless of if they are like directly spoken to you or not. You do that anyway. You don't need to add this element.
Right. Right. But like, you know, she says like, hey, I want to talk to you. And he just walks off. It's like, if he was really in love with her, he'd want to talk to her. Because they're alone at this point in the woods. You know, you're not supposed
without to. Without a vest on.
Things are happening.
They could get shot.
Right.
By him.
Right, but apparently everyone knows that she's been in love with him. She's asking, Liz is asking for permission. I'm rooting for Louisa. There's an element here when they're at the beach that reminded me of Big Little Lies, the show, which if you haven't watched it, the first season is good. The second season sucks. First season's really good.
The first season is self-contained.
Yeah, it's self-contained. It's got like people that you hate, but it's fine.
Yeah,
and this actually has people that I hate in it now. And it's like, it shouldn't be. This should not be happening. They are talking again. They friend zone. They talk about being in the friend zone. I was hoping you were going to say that. It's like, it's ridiculous. When he's talking to her about what would Anne do, it's like, it's the what would Jesus do thing. It's like, it's so, such a modern thing. It's ridiculous. And, but he also is like, oh, well, you know, it's such a shame in this era that you can't be an admiral. It's like, what has given us the sense that this woman is capable of being an admiral? She
or doing
occasionally
anything.
Reads Italian, or speaks in Italian, which she actually Dakota Johnson
cool.
does very, very
I
well.
Like that. I like that they show off the Italian bit.
And that she has musical skills, she has Italian skills, and Dakota Johnson portrays that well. I like that. That's good. But this, oh, based on that, you could be an admiral? No, fuck, no, of course not. And he's giving her cred like that. I mean, I do like that he thinks she's competent, which again, as I said before, because we had thought that there was a preview of their relationship, like there was kissing and real emotion and things that they cared about each other. This makes sense in that context, but no. Then we have William Elliot and the Crazy Rich Asians dialogue. So at some point he actually says like, oh, you're interested. I'm here and I'm going after Mrs. Clay, or I'm here because of Mrs. Clay, because I want to make sure that your dad doesn't have another heir, which in every other version, including the written version, Anne Elliot finds this out from a friend that she
also the friend was cut out. I forgot about that.
Yeah,
she's not very important, but either way.
She's not other than as a catalyst, right?
Yes. So she's an information dumper.
She's an information thing. And so she had told Anne, like, he's got no money, he's doing these things, whatever. But William Elliot actually kind of says this up front, and it's kind of bizarre. So he says, and he's like, but you're interested because I'm attractive and I have money and I dress well. And I'm like, that is the exact dialogue you said in Crazy Rich Asians. It's true.
It's not, but sure.
It's pretty
true. Crazy Rich Asians is better.
It is also true.
even with Awkwafina. I'm
like,
sorry.
Yeah.
I'm not the biggest fan of Awkwafina.
I'm not.
Everyone else in that movie is amazing. Like Gemma Chan.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's some amazing people in that movie. But Awkwafina is not one of them.
It's a more toned down performance for her.
Yeah, she likes William Elliott, which of course, yeah, you're actually kind of thinking, hey, you know,
why not?
And of course, she's thinking it too. She's dressing like she's fucking Emily in Paris. She puts on a beret. No, didn't happen. No, not a Regent Sierra thing. And she also has like some other horrible hat later, and they don't look good on her. So why are they doing this? The costume people fuck that up. But she does have some Emily in Paris type clothes, which is like, why? William Elliot, he's just too big in this. He's got too big of a role in all of it. And then the modern song at the end after the letter, and they excise parts of the letter, and the letter is the best thing about this whole confession of love thing. So they excise part of it, and that bothered me. But they do have kissing, and that's nice.
That is nice.
So
let's rank them. I wonder,
I think it's
what
pretty obvious.
My favorites, it's 2007, 1995, then 2022.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
We both agree. I think we've agreed about all of the rankings, if I'm being honest. Mm-hmm. And I think the ones that most surprised me, and I don't know if you agree, the ranking that most surprised me was Emma. Because we had never seen the 2009 version.
So. Yeah, I'd never seen the 2009 version. So yes. And of course, you know, I, and it's the longest thing that we ranked as highly as it did.
Yeah,
as we did. So what, when you're looking at a Jane Austen adaptation, and I'm just going to put out there things that I'm looking for. I want you to not insult my intelligence. I do want it, you know, obviously the source material has a lot of stuff going on. The, in that time, things were often serialized. So a lot of times they're written with a lot of subplots and a lot of...
Like a TV show.
Yeah, like comic side characters and those kinds of things. And you have to be judicious in how you edit those in or out. And so many of these versions have done that, and we've talked about that. But I think it is important in an effort to make it something that people want to watch, that you don't edit out like the actual dialogue that we are, you know, these are well-known good source material. It's kind of like if you edit Shakespeare badly, it's like, what in the fuck are you doing?
Like if you try to splice all of them together, Hamlet.
Sorry. So, and again, the modern sensibility thing, like, can you see it in modern settings? I don't think that it should be. And I think that that's the real problem, particularly with this 2022 persuasion. So the depression blog element to this is just not working for me. It's not. I did not like the slapstick elements of the Anya Taylor-Joy Emma. And a lot of the reason for that is I think that that was done because, like, hey, this is supposed to be funny. You know, it's just really unnecessary. The people, you can be clever, you can be sharp-witted. That is the point of Jane Austen. Is that she has cutting remarks. The dialogue should be that. And I think several of these adaptations have done that really, really well. Persuasion is not really funny. What's funny is making fun of and Anne's family.
It's full of secondhand embarrassment, which can, I find very funny.
Yes.
Because I have to channel it some way. Mm-hmm. And hey. That's the way I channel it.
Hey. So
I channel secondhand embarrassment by laughing. What are you talking about?
Right now,
but it's how I channel secondhand embarrassment. I just start laughing or screaming. Stop. Anyway, laughing or screaming. Anyway, it just, yeah, I agree. Don't, the subtext is your friend.
Mm-hmm.
And don't let that go. And I think that there are certain things where it's like, you're trying to play to an audience who you are now assuming has never seen it before, has never read it before, has no idea of these characters, needs to get to know them, all that stuff. I totally understand that. There are ways to do it that are really efficient. I know there are a lot of characters. There always are. It's a Jane Austen novel, or a Jane Austen adaptation. There are great ways to do it, like in the 2005 version of Pride and Prejudice or the 2007 Persuasion, where you can make it dialogue that is natural and makes sense in the moment. Kind of like in Peaky Blinders, what I was complimenting about Peaky Blinders was they were able to channel exposition in a very efficient way and also a very natural way of, like, they're bringing up stuff from the past in the moment where it's needed. But it also makes sense why they're bringing it up. Right. And so I think that's very important. I think just generally, and this is a personal thing, don't fuck with the relationship timeline. If you have, like, the number of conversations are very important, because usually they're very so few. Cute.
Yeah.
And so with,
and
like,
they're very pointed.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to have the wording right too.
So something like let's just say Mr. Darcy and Elizabeth, like, you have to have the timeline correct, and you
that need, dance and, is really fucking important. It's so important in Emma too.
Yeah, and I was just using Darcy and Elizabeth as an example, but you have to have, there are very few parts where they are together that you need to make them count, and you don't just throw them away, or you don't just make them unimportant in any way.
Right, but and you also need to have the elements of miscommunication. So, like, mm-hmm. when other character is talking to you about that person, those conversations are important too. So like when someone's telling Elizabeth, like Mr. Wickham's telling Elizabeth, oh, Darcy sucks. Mm-hmm. That is an important thing to include. And it's also important to include it at the right time, not in 1940.
I knew you were talking about that. But also, if you can, another thing that I think
believe
is,
you, even though I didn't.
Shut up. I believe you, even though I have no idea what you're talking
about.
And
I haven't met you before.
Anyway, but another thing is make sure that everything is there. Like, for another example, I love Sense and Sensibility 1995, but I wish we saw Edward in like the middle part of that movie.
Yeah.
Because it's very important for us to remember, oh, Edward's a person who like is very important to Eleanor and they have love for each other. Yeah. But you had established well early on, but you need to see it again before the end so that it's not, if that is more of like a gut punch.
Yeah.
And so you have to include all that stuff and obviously make the endings tidy, but not too quick. I mean, obviously there are certain stories like a Northanger Abbey where it's gonna have to tie up really quickly.
And it's weird.
And it's weird.
I mean, there's weirdness in Northanger Abbey.
But there are ways like the 2009 Emma that tie up the loose ends very well, but and very efficiently, but in a sweet way that makes sense for all the characters involved. And make sure that it again, like a series should. It's like it ties up all the loose ends. And so that's very important. I don't like feeling like anything's too rushed. And sometimes it's just what you have in the source material, like the Marianne and Colonel Brandon relationship is always going to be rushed.
Yeah, I reread that and it really
you can't do anything about that. You, like the most you get is after she's sick.
Yeah.
And that's really it for her to flip and you have to sell it. Bring to me to my next point, even though I didn't put this in like an order of any kind. But another point is you have to have the leads have chemistry with each other.
Yeah.
It is so, so important.
Yes.
And you have to believe the specific type of chemistry because every chemistry is different.
Yes.
Like you, for an Eleanor and an Edward, it's an awkward, nerdy, lovable kind of thing.
Yes.
For Colonel Brandon and Marianne, it's a respect and a love and a care. For go through all of them. For Pride and Prejudice, for Elizabeth and Darcy, again, mutual respect and seeing each other for who they are.
And Bingley has to be a puppy.
And love Jane with all his little heart. And Jane has to love him with all her little heart.
Yes.
And they have to just love each other because they're adorable. And
Bingley's a puppy. Oh, that labradoodle thing was adorable.
That was perfect. Mansfield Park, Fanny and Edmund have to be a good friends to lovers. It has to work. You have to establish their friendship as a specific kind of friendship where love can bloom from there. And you have to establish that Edmund's interested in her from the get-go, which the 1999 version did very well. Of him thinking of her as a possible wife, even though he should be focusing on the other girl.
Yeah.
And then you got Emma, where you have to have, again, another friend. You have to have a good night.
Yeah.
And two of the three, very, very, very good.
Yes.
And again, the third one was just a bit meh. But either way, Knightley and Emma have to have like a little bit of a combative brother-sister kind of vibe, because they grew up together and all that stuff. And same with Edmund and Fanny, but Edmund and Fanny have a different kind of friendship.
It's a very different.
Very different. But Emma and Knightley have to understand each other but also see each other. He's willing to call her out, whereas like Edmund and Fanny are just pretty cute love, but Knightley needs to be able to call Emma out on her bullshit. And
but she has to stand up for herself too, so Emma is a strong character.
Yes, absolutely.
And you know, she's willing to say, you know, fuck you, I'm doing my own thing, even when she's wrong. Mm-hmm. But she and then she learns from her and she's like, oh damn,
and she has to be apologetic.
Yeah.
And
she
then
apologize well without compromising herself.
And then Catherine and what the fuck is his name?
Henry Tilney.
Yes. Sorry, that's the one I'm least familiar with.
She feels so cute though.
Catherine and Henry they have to establish a relationship early on so that we can buy why he leaves his father. Yeah. And you have, it has to be strong enough. You have to get a little bit of them, like a playfulness there, an intrigue, a mutual connection of, oh, you read novels, I read novels, let's fuck. And so that's essentially the vibe.
Although, like, hey, when we read the novels, they're about fucking. So.
Yeah. And then persuasion, you have to have the dramatic tension. Yeah. Of you have to understand that these people truly loved each other. Yeah. Like, you don't get to see any of it. That's all subtext and that's all like an exposition and shit.
But they truly loved each other before.
You have to buy it. All the way back. You have to buy that they loved each other at one point. They have not gotten over each other and it makes things awkward at the time. And then they realize, oh God, I can't live without this person. You have to get that right.
They see each other again. And like that. This person is essential to me is something that was true when they were torn asunder, as they say. Mm-hmm. But it's been true that entire 8-year period when they see each other again, it's like that missing piece is back. I've got to have you kind of thing. And, and it has to be physically painful.
As far as heroines are concerned, they have to have a personality. Like you can't have a Fanny 1983. You can't have an Anne 1995. No. You have to have them have a bit of personality and for you to connect with them, but not too much so that you like a Persuasion 2022, like you hate them, or an Emma 2020 where you just hate her because that's the way they characterize her for no reason.
Yeah.
Emma is not likable all the time, and that's the point. And she's supposed to
learn from it.
Yes. And she's not supposed to be stuck up the entire time.
No.
She's supposed to learn. And you have to have them learn the lesson, and you have to see that change. The biggest thing is the flip. Mm-hmm. of an Elizabeth seeing Darcy differently
and realizing that self-awareness, like I said, I think you know they talk about it in 2022, it's ridiculous, but that acknowledgement of I fucked up, which mm-hmm. again happens way too early in 2022.
No, we'll talk, it'll be here to talk about
but,
it,
but that has to be something that you see the character realize it and do something.
And that's a lot on the actress, but it's also on the dialogue as well.
Right. When you're making a script, you've got great source material. It's there.
Some of my, and again, just to recap our favorites, Sense and Sensibility is the 1995 version. Emma Thompson did a wonderful job with the screenplay, made it likable. You have to add the entertainment value.
Right. You've got the humor of like, oh, here's poor Eleanor having to drink tea on the stairs.
Yeah, it's funny.
My family's crazy.
You do it by being clever, not by just being modern.
Yes. And it doesn't even take dialogue. It just has to take that reality. There has to be a reality to it that is not a modern reality necessarily. It's still funny, but it doesn't have to be, we beat you over the head with it.
Yes, and Pride and Prejudice 2005, again, adds that entertainment value, really well shot. And beautifully acted.
Part of actual study on your part, or you know, no one could ever accuse you.
No one would ever assume your manners to be rehearsed. What excellent boiled potatoes! Sorry, I love that version so much.
So good.
And then Mansfield Park, the 1999 version, because again, well shot, well acted. Love. What's your name? Jeremy Lee Miller.
Yes, he's so
Johnny Lee Miller. Sorry.
He's so great.
So wonderful.
Love him so much. Love him so much.
He's the best.
Oh, I do. I love him so much. In Emma,
a double dipper, and we are happy that he is.
Yay.
And then Emma, 2009, you snuck up on us. Johnny Lee Miller really got you there. And Michael Gambon is Mr. Woodhouse. And you have to play. And a huge part of it, you have to sell the relationships, all of them that are in there. And I think that's what 2009 Emma and 1995 Sense and Sensibility and 2005 Pride and Prejudice, they get like the family dynamics really well.
Yeah.
And you buy it. You buy them as a family. You buy them as love interests. You buy them as everything. I mean, you get it. Yeah. And so it just makes it easier. And Northanger Abbey, I mean, the 2007 version
is much better.
It's much better. Again, it just shows chemistry between leads is very important.
Yes, it's huge. JJ Field, we love you.
We do love you, JJ Field. And 2007, Persuasion is also our favorite. Yeah. Again, the chemistry is so important, and the dialogue is very important.
Love you, Rupert. Yeah.
So, and so those are our favorites, and those are the things we would recommend. We recommend you watch as many of these as you can if you were really interested.
Yeah, make your own opinions.
Yeah, share form them your with own us. Opinions. We'd love to know.
And if you've seen other versions that we haven't seen, we'd love to know about that too.
If they're accessible to us.
If they're accessible to us or whatever. But we are so thrilled that you've joined us on this ride. It's been kind of crazy. Give yourself some champagne. You've earned it.
You've earned it for listening to us.
Absolutely. We are going to get back to Peaky Blinders.
Season four.
We're also at some point going to throw in there this newest season of the Umbrella Academy that we haven't seen yet. Season four of Umbrella Academy, which is the last one. We will cover all of that. Oh my God. At some point.
We might wait until after Peaky Blinders.
Oh yeah.
I think that'd be best.
Yeah. I think we have to. But we are looking forward to sharing all of our experiences with you. We hope that you join us, and
cheers.
Cheers.